Hey guys, my name is Robin Kohling, and typically when I give, I serve in Regen. So my name is Robin. I am a grateful believer. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from guilt and shame, people-pleasing, and perfectionism. So that's how I normally introduce myself, even to strangers sometimes it comes out. But I'm Robin Kohling, as I said. And today I know that God loves me in spite of all my failures, and that he can take shattered lives and restore them, that he uses broken people to tell his story of grace. I grew up in a loving home, but chose to believe at an early age that I needed to be perfect in order to keep my father's love and approval. My dad encouraged me toward excellence, but I took his words and twisted them into an impossible standard of acceptability. My teenage years were filled with a battle in my mind of seeking perfection for my dad, yet rebelliously acting out to gain the acceptance of my peers. I was filled with shame over my behavior. One of my friends had become a believer and invited me to Young Life, where I heard about Jesus loving me in spite of my bad choices. I accepted his free gift of eternal life, yet I carried the mindset of needing to be perfect into my relationship with him. This belief would tarnish all of my relationships for many years. At 18, I married a Christian man, and over the next 5 years, we grew to a family of five. We led in Young Life and at our church, but our relationship was in trouble. I was focused on the kids and trying to be the perfect Christian wife and mom, while he was focused on work. We had grown apart, and after 16 years of marriage, my husband informed me that our divorce was final. Even though there would be freedom, all I could think was, how am I going to do this? I am all alone now. Prior to the divorce, we had been active in our church, but now there was no one willing to deal with the topic of divorce. There was no divorce care in that day. The church and my friends really didn't know how to relate to my new singleness. Their awkwardness caused me to feel shunned, like I was wearing a scarlet letter. I'm sure many of you have felt that way. My identity had been in my marriage, my relationships, and my position at the church. Now all that was gone. So I questioned, where would I find my significance and who would love me? Losing my source of value brought up feelings of inadequacy, depression, thoughts that I was unlovable, that I wasn't good enough, and that I had no value. I bought into the lie that because I was divorced, God was disappointed in me and didn't love me anymore. I thought I was beyond his love, so I went searching for my value in the world, much like the prodigal son. I took the love of my heavenly father and cast it aside for the desires of the world. I spent the next several years spiraling downward. I isolated from all my Christian community and focused on the men who would pay attention to me. I dated several men simultaneously, which prevented me from getting lonely and facing the reality of what I was doing. I was spinning out of control as I had abandoned everything I knew of how God wanted me to live. I became depressed and struggled with abusive thoughts towards myself, and my panic attacks became very frequent. In the spring of 2003, I found myself alone again. All the men were gone, my daughters were at college, and my son was at war in Iraq. I felt empty, and my depression was like complete darkness, just totally black. Guilt and shame consumed me, which prevented me from reaching out to my Christian friends or to God. But one day, God prompted one of my old friends to reach out to me. She reminded me of the love that God and she had for me. She invited me to Watermark and to a Bible study where I could dive back into God's Word. Sitting in the Bible study, I felt God prompting me, telling me to tell them who you really are. Tell them about your past and what you've done. I thought that if I were honest, the other women would turn and run the other way, like cockroaches when you turn on the light. But when I opened up to them, they didn't run. Not only did they accept and love me, but they were encouraged by my honesty and then were willing to open up about their own past. As I reconnected with other believers, I wasn't feeling the loneliness that had overwhelmed me before. getting back into Scripture reminded me where my value truly lies. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved me so much that he sent his Son to die on a cross to redeem me. My value is found in Christ and what he did on the cross. Through his word and doing several inventories in region, God gave me new eyes through which I view my past. I began to see how I was unfairly blaming my ex-husband for the failure of our marriage, when in fact I had an equal part in it. Learning this gave me a chance to accept responsibility for my own sin, which allowed me to enter back into a relationship with God. I was able to confess my sin and accept God's forgiveness for it. This process brought healing and a sense of wholeness, even though I was single. God has blessed me with new relationships with women who loved and accepted me. He gave me a ministry and a new purpose. Serving others, specifically other women who could learn from my past, helped me to come to a point where I was at peace with my singleness. I could honestly say that I was happy to follow God's lead, even if it meant I never would remarry." Romans 8:28, which we all know, says Paul reminds us that God causes all things to work together for good. It may look like a ministry that he gives you, a new relationship, or even a restored relationship with your spouse. He is creative and an unpredictable God and is able to restore your broken past into unimaginable beauty. One way he is restoring my past is by placing me in a position of service here at Watermark to tell others what the path of divorce looks like. I had believed that God forgave me for all my sins, but questioned if he would really want to use someone who had made so many mistakes. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4, one of my favorite verses, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those in any affliction with the comfort with which we have received from God." So I now have the opportunity to tell others my story and what the path of divorce looks like. I also have the privilege of walking alongside them to encourage and comfort them in their affliction with the comfort I received from God and his people. So in regard to the loneliness of divorce, here's what I want you to know. Seeking anything, and I mean anything, but God to fill the void in your life is futile. The world offers nothing that satisfies long term. So how do you seek God and get to know him? Spend time with him, talk to him, read his word. Spend time getting to know the God who moved heaven and earth in order to have a relationship with you. He loved you so much that he sent his Son and sacrificed him for you. Then surround yourself with other believers. Find community with people who will tell you the truths from God's word and who will encourage you to follow him and not run after the world. The world will tempt you with the idea that it has the solution to your loneliness, but it is a lie from the pit of hell. You need others in your life that are following Christ who can help you see through these lies and point you back to God's truth. Don't try and do this alone. As I close, I want to encourage you with the truth that God has forgiven you, that he loves you, and that he is always there for you. In his eyes, you are not wearing a scarlet letter. Your divorce does not make you unlovable to God. You have value because Christ died for you, and a divorce does not make God love you any less. My prayer for you is that you will seek him as the only solution for your loneliness. Thanks.